Ramayana Aranyakanda Part 9. Dressed in saffron cloth, his hair tied in a knot on top of his head, wearing wooden sandals, carrying an umbrella over his right shoulder, and a staff and water pot in his left hand, Ravana thus came before Sita in the guise of a wandering mendicant. Sitting inside her cottage, Sita was crying, shedding tears of grief in the absence of her husband Ram, just as Ravana appeared at her doorway. Out of fear, the wind ceased blowing, the leaves on the trees in the forest stopped fluttering, and the waters of the Godavari became hushed. While chanting Vedic mantras, Ravana approached Sita Devi. As he stared at her, his heart became pierced by the arrows of Cupid. Then, hoping to charm her, Ravana spoke, "Oh, lovely lady, who are you, residing all alone within this terrible forest? Are you the goddess of modesty, Kri? The goddess of fame, Kirti? The goddess of mystic powers, Muti? Or the goddess of love, Rati? Or perhaps you are Lakshmi herself, now bereft of your lotus flower? Your smooth white teeth are like a row of jasmine buds, and your dark eyes resemble two bumblebees hovering over your lovely lotus-like face. Your thighs are tapered and graceful like the trunks of elephants, and your hips are rounded and ample. Your firm, abundant breasts seem to touch each other, and their nipples are pointed and prominent. Beneath them is a waist so slim that a thumb and index finger can circle it perfectly. Surely no mortal or celestial woman can equal you in beauty, which has ravished my heart like a swelling river that floods its banks. O dark-eyed lady, why do you remain here when you could prosper elsewhere? You should reside in the palace, adorned with the finest dresses and jewels, attended by countless servants. Are you the wife of one of the Rudras, Maruts, or Vasus? O sweet smiling one, please choose a worthy husband and leave this jungle which abounds with ferocious animals." Even though addressed so boldly, Sita offered her guest a proper reception, not wishing to offend a Brahmana. After offering him a seat and water to wash his feet, Sita gave her guest a meal and then explained, "My dear sir, my name is Sita, the daughter of the noble-minded King Janaka of Mathila. At the age of 9, I was married to my beloved husband, Ram. Later, at the urging of his wife, my father-in-law, King Dasharath, installed her son, Bharat, as heir apparent, thus banishing Ram to the forest for 14 years. Now, please tell me your name and ancestry, and why you have come to this Dandaka forest." Now, no longer able to control his emotions, the pretend Brahmana excitedly replied, "I am Ravana, king of the Rakshasas. Even great demigods tremble at the mere mention of my name. O faultless, beautiful one, now that I have seen you, I can never again take delight in my other innumerable consorts. My dear Sita, become my principal queen, and you shall have 5,000 maidservants awaiting your command. Now, leave this forest and enjoy with me in the beautiful gardens of Lanka." Hearing Ravana, Sita became enraged, Contemptuously, she replied, "No, I am completely devoted to Ram, who is as steady as a rock, as grave as the ocean, and sheltering like a banyan tree. I am devoted to Ram, who is mighty armed and broad-chested, whose face resembles the full moon, and who is self-controlled and virtuous. Why, Ram is a lion among men, and you are like a jackal who wants to possess a lioness. Would you dare touch the sun or lift up Mount Mandara? Would you pierce your eyes with a needle or carry a blazing fire in your garment? Would you attempt to swim across the ocean with a boulder tied around your neck? Then why do you dare consider running away with the wife of Ram? Ram is Garuda, and you are but a crow. Ram is the ocean, and you are a small puddle. Ram is nectar, and you are stale gruel. Ram is like sandalwood, and you are like mud. Ram is gold, while you are iron. Ram is a swan, and you are no better than a vulture. So you may try to kidnap me, but as long as Ram lives, you could no more enjoy me than a fly that flounders in ghee." Although speaking boldly, Sita was shaking with fear. Thus, to further intimidate her, Ravana spoke, "Listen, my lovely lady. I am the half-brother of Kubera, Lord of Wealth. After vanquishing him, I took away his Pushpaka chariot, and now he hides himself near Mount Kailas. The demigods are all afraid of me, and wherever I go, sunshine becomes like moonshine. The wind calms itself, and rivers stop flowing. Forget about your Ram, for he is a mere mortal, doomed to perish soon. Come with me and enjoy heavenly delights. I passionately yearn for you. Do not disappoint me. If you are truly Kuvera's brother, then why do you act with such wicked intentions? One who ravishes the wife of Indra may survive, but whoever tries to molest me is surely doomed." Ravana finally lost all patience. In a fit of rage, he revealed his gigantic form as a fierce Rakshasa with 10 heads, 20 arms, and sharp teeth. The king of the Rakshasas then declared, "If indeed you wish to have a husband who is renowned throughout the 3 worlds, then you should accept me. Serve me, and I shall never displease you. Why are you so fond of this Ram who has been banished to the forest?" Ravana then grabbed Sita by the hair with his left hand. As it summoned, Ravana's golden chariot came close by, and placing his right hand upon her thigh, the king of the Rakshasas took the frightened Sita in his arms, ascending into the sky. And as they went up, Sita screamed out, "Ram! Ram! Come, save me! Punish this wretched Ravana!" In desperation, Sita called out to the trees, the river, the birds, and the animals, begging them to inform Ram that she had been abducted. But just then, Sita saw Jatayu sleeping while perched atop a tree. So Sita called out to him, "Jatayu, please help me. Please go now and tell Ram that I have been kidnapped by the evil Ravana." Hearing the crying of Sita, Jatayu awakened, and seeing how she was being roughly handled by Ravana, challenged the king of the Rakshasas, "Oh, Ravana, I am Jatayu, king of the vultures. How dare you lay your hands on the wife of another? Beware, for you are carrying a poisonous snake in your arms. Although I am now 60,000 years old and without weapons, and you are young with many weapons, still, I will not allow you to carry away Sita. I warn you, give up your evil intentions, or else prepare to be thrown from your chariot like a ripened fruit falling from a tree. Thus challenged, Ravana angrily rushed towards Jatayu. As the fighting began, it appeared that two great mountains were striking each other. Ravana threw many weapons at Jatayu, while the giant vulture gouged Ravana with his taloned feet. Although many powerful arrows pierced Jatayu, the sight of Sita crying upon Ravana's chariot enabled him to tolerate the pain. Jatayu warded off the onslaught of arrows with his wings and managed to break Ravana's bow with his feet. Upon gaining this advantage, Jatayu quickly cut off Ravana's armor and with his sharp claws killed the mules yoked to the chariot. Jatayu smashed the chariot to pieces while simultaneously decapitating Ravana's driver with his beak. With his chariot broken, Ravana fell to the ground, tightly clasping Sita in his arms. As they witnessed this wonderful display of prowess, all the other creatures watching applauded Jatayu's valor. However, Jatayu was old, and he soon became exhausted. Ravana then rose up into the sky, holding Sita with one hand and bearing a sword in another. Condemning Ravana, Jatayu suddenly swooped down upon Ravana's back and began pulling at his hair so hard that the Rakshasa king's lips quivered with indignation. Pressing Sita tightly to his left thigh, Ravana struck back at Jatayu with the palm of his hand. Jatayu, however, dodged the blow and then tore off Ravana's 10 left arms with his powerful beak. However, Ravana's arms were immediately replaced by new arms. Now, leaving Sita aside, Ravana began beating Jatayu with his fists and feet. The fighting continued for nearly an hour. Finally, in desperation, Ravana took up his sword and cut off Jatayu's wings, feet, and flanks, causing him to fall mortally wounded to the ground. Greatly distressed, Sita rushed to where Jatayu lay, embracing him with tears in her eyes. Ravana, however, quickly grabbed Sita by the hair and carried her off as she cried out in grief,
"Ram! Oh, Ram!"
Sita's cries caused the entire universe to fall out of order. Everything became enveloped in darkness. In empathy with Sita's grief, the wind no longer blew, and the sun lost its luster. However, Lord Brahma, who could perceive the entire incident through divine eyes, thus declared, "Now our purpose is accomplished." Thereafter, as Ravana rose up into the sky, Sita's ornaments broke apart, her jewels falling to the ground. The pearls from her necklace slipped from her breast like the pure water of the Ganga falling from the sky. Overwhelmed with fear and grief, Sita continuously struggled to free herself from Ravana's grip, reproaching him again and again for his vile, cowardly act. As Ravana sped towards Lanka, all creatures appear to lament.
Oh,
there is no Dharma. There is no truth. There is no gentleness. With her loose hair waving in the wind, her mark of Tilak erased, and her face devoid of all cheer, Sita moaned,
O Ram, O Lakshman.
But just then, Sita saw five monkey chiefs sitting atop a mountain. Unnoticed by Ravana, she took off her silk upper cloth and some jewels, dropping them in the midst of those forest dwellers, hoping they would inform Ram. As the monkey stared with unblinking eyes, Ravana carried away Sita towards Lanka. And so, like many other powerful materialists, Ravana risked everything to gain the object of his desires. While carrying Sita across the ocean to his kingdom, Ravana relished the thought of having successfully abducting her, and he eagerly anticipated making her his queen. Blinded by lust, Ravana failed to realize that the object of his lusty desire was actually death personified for him. For the goddess of fortune always serves the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and when materialists such as Ravana try to enjoy her, she manifests to them as Durga, the deadly material nature. As mistress of this world, Durga rides a tiger and carries a trident whose prongs are the threefold miseries of material life, miseries derived from the body and mind, inflicted by other living entities, or miseries imposed by the higher powers in the form of natural disasters. Indeed, no one, not even the greatest scientist or conqueror, can counteract the sufferings meted out by Goddess Durga.